We prayed something there in the first line. We talked about risking hope. And today, the theme for Advent is hope. That's what the traditional theme is on the first Sunday. And so we're going to be emphasizing hope a little bit today. We're also going to be talking a little bit about how we're going to proceed through Advent, some of the emphases we're going to make as we go through Advent as well. But I just wanted to focus on that issue of hope for just one second, because I think particularly at this time, with all that's going on in the world, and maybe with all that's going on in some of our own lives individually, personally, hope can be a difficult thing, right? It's something we talk about a lot here. And maybe the best we can do is hope for hope, but to actually have hope, that can be a real challenge. And it can even feel risky to have hope, because we don't want to get disappointed. We don't want to hope for things that aren't going to happen, or put our hope in something that's not going to come through for us. So hope is a challenge. And it's especially a challenge, as I was saying, at a time like this, when we look at the world in particular and wonder, where is the light? Where is the love? Where's the beauty when it seems like there's so much darkness, so much hatred, and so much ugliness? Well, Christmas is the time where we get to reflect on the fact that God has brought hope into our lives. It's a time when we can just, whether we feel we have much hope or not, we can just positively and consciously lean towards hope, look towards hope. And that's, I think, the beauty of having a calendar where we look at certain things each year. Like Christmas comes around every year, so we get to focus on hope every year. And I think that's really good for us. It kind of stirs hope back up in our hearts. So we're going to think a little bit about that today, and we're going to think about Jesus as light that came into darkness. What we're celebrating at Christmas time is this miracle that God became human, that in Jesus we see somebody who is fully human and fully divine. That's a great mystery. It's kind of hard to get our heads around, but it's this amazing miracle that Jesus was born, and that happened some 2,000 years ago or so. And so the lights that we put up, we've got these Christmas lights on the Christmas tree, decorating this room, and we'll see lots of lights out and about over the next few weeks. Those lights represent hope in the darkness, right? They represent that we don't have to just give in to darkness. We don't have to give in to hatred. We can actually embrace light. We can embrace love. And the future can be positive. The future can be hopeful. And that's because of Jesus coming into the world. So we're going to read a couple of scriptures now. We're actually going to read three scriptures. The first ones come from probably about 2,800 years ago, right? So hundreds of years even before Jesus. Because even back then, people had kind of lost hope. There was a lot of darkness. There was a lot of war. There was a lot of bad stuff going on. And some of the people that the Hebrews called prophets spoke about a time that was going to come when light would come, when life would be better, when God would make things right. So now Moody and Idia is going to come up and read for us. So do you guys want to come up? We've got a microphone for you here. If you stand on the platform, Moody is going to go first. This is from a prophet called Isaiah, or Isaiah, some people say. So why don't you guys read to us?
Now those people live in darkness, but they will see a great light. They live in a place that is very dark, but a light will shine on them. A child will be born to us. God will give a son to us. He will be responsible for leading the people. His name will be Wonderful Counselor, Powerful God, Father who lives forever, Prince of Peace. Power and peace will be in his kingdom. It will continue to grow. He will rule as king on David's throne and over David's kingdom. He will make it strong by ruling with goodness and fair judgment. He will rule it forever and ever. The Lord of Heaven's armies will do this because of his strong love for his people.
Okay, that's great. So just hold on a minute. We're going to just talk about that for a moment. So there's this prophet Isaiah saying that a time is going to come when all these dark things are going to change around. It's going to be really different. And then he goes on to say something else. He talks about a sign that will be given, that that things are changing. So Idia is going to read that sign for us.
But the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be pregnant. She will have a son, and she will name him Emmanuel.
Excellent. Great job. That's very well read. Thanks, guys. Okay, you can sit down now. So the sign was that a virgin would be pregnant and give birth to a baby who was going to be called Emmanuel. And Emmanuel, if we translate it, it means God with us. So God is going to be with us. This sign is that God will be with us. So now where's Elliot? Elliot's going to come and read for us from Matthew's gospel. So this is about 800 or so years later. It seems like that sign appeared. So Elliot, you read for us. Do you want to stand on the platform? Good man.
Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. The mother of Jesus Christ was Mary, and this is how the birth of Jesus came about. Mary was engaged to marry Joseph, but before they married, she learned that she was going to have a baby. She was pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. Mary's husband, Joseph, was a good man. He did not want to disgrace her in public, so he planned to divorce her secretly. While Joseph thought about this, an angel of the Lord came to him in a dream. The angel said, "Joseph, descendant of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. The baby in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. You will name the son Jesus. Give him that name because he will save his people from their sins." All this happened to make clear the full meaning of what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be pregnant. She will have a son, and they will name him Emmanuel. This name means God is with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the Lord's angel had told him to do. Joseph married Mary. She gave birth to a son, and Joseph named him Jesus.
Excellent. Great job. Thanks, Elia. Really good job. Thank you, buddy. So there we have it. So there's the story. That's what we're celebrating at Christmas. We're celebrating this miracle of hope coming in that was prophesied hundreds of years before, and then Jesus comes on the scene. So we have so much to celebrate. We have so much to be thankful for. Now, sometimes, though, we can lose that at Christmas, right? Christmas can end up becoming this mad rush. You know, it becomes one of the busiest seasons of the year. It becomes about more about what we're going to get than what we get to give. It becomes more about perhaps the people who have stuff having more, rather than it being about hope and the kind of hope that even Jesus talked about, which was hope for everybody, and especially hope for the poor, hope for people who don't have much. So it's very easy for us to lose sight of this miracle. And the crazy thing is that the more perhaps that we celebrate the other side of Christmas, the less satisfying it is, the less hopeful it is, the less joyful it is. And something we especially want to focus on and celebrate this season, this particular season, is joy. You know, we're calling our series for Advent Joy to the World. We didn't invent that statement, by the way. It comes from a famous Christmas carol, of course. But we want to celebrate and truly be joyful about this incredibly good news. So we're going to take a little look at a video right now that gives us a little bit of insight into how sometimes the whole Christmas celebration can go a little awry, and maybe some of the things we can do to get back on track. So maybe we can, Mike, run that video. Is it possible just to dim the lights slightly while we play the video? If we're able to do that, that'd be great. But let's check out this video. Okay, so we want to, this Advent, we want to, we're not exactly going to follow that program of Advent Conspiracy. They're a particular organization, but we want to kind of follow their lead in, maybe we can put the lights up a little bit again there, Mike. Maybe we can respond to their lead in some of these themes that they're talking about. So they talked, for instance, about spending less, spending more time with one another. If we're able to spend less, what can we put that money we might have spent to a better cause? Maybe we can really help those who are in need. And we just heard this morning about some examples of how we can help other people in need. People that actually we're connected to, people in Opala who we have a relationship with, who we have a connection with. So what we're going to do for the rest of the service is spend some time just at some prayer stations that have been put around the room. And then we're going to go break and visit some of those prayer stations. We don't have to visit them all, but we're going to, you know, get to as many of them as you can. And there's opportunities at those stations to pray right now, but also they can inspire us to pray throughout Advent. And we're in particular, we're looking at these themes of spending less, spending more time with people, and spending more time with God as well. So the actual theme of prayer is going to carry us through this Advent season. Okay, now we're going to talk about those stations in just a moment. And maybe if you're responsible for a station, you could just move towards that station now. But I wanted to mention something that we're going to, a tool that we're going to use throughout Advent. And it's this Advent calendar. And we have copies of these. The first station we're going to hear about over here, Melanie's going to explain some things about her station in just a moment. But we have copies of these calendars there. We also have copies on the welcome desk outside. So I'd encourage you all, grab a copy of this calendar. It's blank on the back, and it's on sort of kind of heavy cardstock. And we're suggesting maybe stick it on your fridge or put it somewhere where you're going to see it. And each day throughout Advent, there's a suggestion that we could all do together. So if I get my glasses, I'm going to give you an example of this. For this week, for instance, for tomorrow, okay, so December on November the 30th, it actually says December the 30th on here, but that's a misprint, it's November the 30th tomorrow. Take 5 minutes today to list the people who bring most joy in your life and pray for them. So taking a few minutes just to think, okay, who are five really important people to me? I'm gonna spend a little bit of time praying for them. And then the next day, write a note to three of those people and tell them how much joy they bring you and why. Okay, so there's opportunities for us to do relational things like that and really think about other people during this Advent season. There's also opportunities on here, I'm not going to read them all out, for us to think about people who are in need, pray for people who are in need, to serve others, suggestions for service, lots of different things. I'm not going to give it all away, but make sure you get one of these Advent calendars, take it home with you, put it up somewhere where you're going to see it, and then let's together follow these themes each day. It's going to take us no more than 5 minutes a day, all right? It's just a very simple insert into our day. We could all manage this. It's something we can do together, and it's something that I think will make a difference. Now, we're also, starting next week, going to have opportunity for us to respond to some of the things that happened in the previous week, and we can write out little notes, and we're going to post them in different places to sort of see what impact this had on our Advent season. Okay. So, without any further ado, we're going to go around the room, and once everybody has introduced their prayer station, we'll take a break and for a few minutes, and we can just move around, go to those stations, check them out, pray, respond accordingly. Okay, so the first one is Melanie. Oh, you've got a microphone. Excellent. Are you on? Can we turn Melanie's mic on?
I can use it. Oh.
Great. Okay, so let's... Do you need this one?
No.
Okay.
I'm fine. Is it my turn?
Yeah, it's you, yes.
Okay. So this is the worshipful prayer station, which probably all prayer is worshipful at some level, but we're thinking about the true meaning of Christmas. So here you'll find a number of different nativity sets from around the world, depicting that story of Jesus' birth, which can get pretty familiar. So find one of them. There's some more over on that table over there that really touches you, and reflect on it. Think about that. Then there's also a whole lots of pictures that we thought maybe captured the idea of love coming down at Christmas. You can choose a picture and reflect on that. Just think about the meaning of Christmas. And then we have some cards here that you can write down a prayer or what you think the true meaning of Christmas is. I mean, it can be different things for different people, you know. And then there's a basket. You can put it here, and it'll be a little Christmas gift for Jesus, your reflection on the true meaning of Christmas. And we have praying hands cards, if you want to take them home and use them every day during Advent to reflect and pray. And also some lyrics to "O Come Let Us Adore Him." So grab those, take them home, sing by yourself or with your family, and think about adoration. And then over here, there's some pictures that kids can color and some stickers that they can then put in the basket as a gift to Jesus, or they can take the picture home and give it as a Christmas gift to someone else.
Excellent. Thanks, Melanie. Okay, next prayer station.
Is this on? Okay.
Yes, you're on.
Hi, I'm Debbie, and this is Gina. We'll be here at the Guatemala table. I wanted to share with you our Guatemala Christmas tree filled with a prayer card for each of the 51 scholarship students that we sponsor through our general fund throughout the year. Each of these kids get to go to school. They go through a selection process there. Only the most poor get our scholarships. So if you would like to commit to praying for this child throughout the year, you are welcome to take a card per family. Take it home, put it on your tree, put it on your refrigerator. And on the back of the card, our suggestions of what to pray for: education, their shelter, their food, family, faith, the crops, the town of Apala, and the country of Guatemala. In addition to the prayer cards, we have a bowl of beans. Beans are the primary way of feeding the families there. If their crops do well, they do well. The kids get to go to school. If you'd like to take a bean home to remind yourself of this, that's what they're here for. In addition, we have prayer chains. If you have something on your heart that you'd like to share outside of anything we're suggesting, you could write it on the prayer chain card, and we're going to hook them together to show the unity that we have with Guatemala. And lastly, the table is filled with letters of appreciation, and we are so overwhelmed over the years with letters, and finally they are out and open and put in a notebook. And I would strongly encourage you to take a glance through them. Some are in broken English, but very understandable. And I want to share one with you quickly so you'll get an idea of what you're going to see. It's written, it says, "Ipala, Chicamula," which is the county, "Guatemala, South America, July 15th, 2015. Two sponsors at Cedar Ridge. Very carefully and respectfully, I'm writing to you, hoping to bless our Lord Jesus Christ, is poured over each of you and your family. I express my gratitude for this medium, for the opportunity they give us, superanos, academically own benefit of our families and well my people, Ipala. I also want to know that you are in my prayers, because you have been as angels of light in our lives. What they do for us have marked the lives in a good way. Without further ado, I leave you with great admiration and respect for what they do to people who need it. God bless you. Best regards, Maria." You'll find hundreds of letters like this here. And lastly, I said that was lastly, one more thing. Just to get a summary of what has been accomplished over the years in Apala and what's on the plate for the future, you can take one of these home. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Okay, so we're going to keep going around. Remember, you don't have to get to all the stations. You don't have to do everything at every station, all right? Because we just want to create something for everybody. So, Brian, share what you have over here.
Yep. If you have ever found yourself drifting off when you pray, sometimes doodling may actually be a tool that you could use to keep you focused. So if you're a visual learner, if you like to color every once in a while, if you find that maybe you find yourself doodling when you pray, there's actually a model called Praying in Color that we're going to feature back here. And the idea is you take a piece of paper, blank piece of paper, and then you pick up a colored pencil or a crayon, and you start by, in the middle center of that page, just draw a shape of some sort, and in that shape, write a favorite name of God. So, you know, Jesus, Spirit, you know, Good Shepherd, whatever you would prefer. And then around that, you can create some other doodled figures, some shapes, and maybe it's going to be people in your family that as you pray for them, you can just doodle and allow yourself to concentrate on your prayer for them, or maybe a need in your own life, or maybe a country of the world that you're praying for peace this Christmas time. And so just allow as you are here, and then also if it gets a little crowded over here, there's a few clipboards, you can take a paper, and there are some samples of what some of these praying in color figures might look like. So those are some samples here that you can find. Come on over, don't have to be a child. Youth, adults, come on over to the praying in color table.
Thanks, Brian. Ruth?
In over here on this table, we're going to be making little Christmas tree decorations to pray for our own community, Cedar Ridge community. So it has a little picture of the church on the front and then writing a prayer on the back that we might experience and share the hope that we've been hearing about and the joy of Christmas. So again, not just for kids, come over and make a little decoration.
Hi, I'm Trish, and I work with the youth here. And the high school group came up with a prayer net or prayer wall. And there's different pieces of yarn, and each color represents a different thing that you might want to pray for. This brown is praying for relationships, and there's yarn here that you can tie on as you're praying for whatever that is. There's also slips of paper if you wanted to write the prayer out and then tie it up here or take it home with you. Very cool from the high school group. Middle school group came up with spiritual media prayer practice. Since a lot of us are a little addicted to social media, we can write our own posts, get it, to God today. So we have a Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can color a post or post it and put it on there. If you like somebody's post already, there are some dot stickers that you could like right next to it. But just as a reminder that when you're maybe on your social media, it's a reminder that we spend a lot of time connecting with others. We could be just spending just as much time connecting with God through prayer. So maybe you log into Facebook and you're like, oh, let me be praying for whoever I'm reading right now. So that's our spiritual media station.
Great. Thanks, Trish. Steve?
Hi, my name is Steve. I'd like to warmly welcome you to one of the two offering prayer stations. We have these here every week on either side of the room here and directly across the room. Also in the back are the offering towers. This is a great opportunity for you to consider, as we were just watching in that video, if we're going to spend less money on perhaps gifts, how we want to continue to be generous, not only with our time, but with our finances for those who need it. So here you'll see a few scriptures, a few thoughts about the idea of generosity at this time of year. And as many of you are aware, we're in the middle of a challenge, a financial challenge that we are taking on as a community through the months of November and December. If you want to read more about that, there's more information here, so I'd welcome you to come and take some time to just reflect on how you might want to contribute financially during Advent.
Thanks, Steve. Tini?
Okay, so the last prayer station is up front, and I know that, I'm going to step away from the speaker. I know that a bucket of water and wet wipes can be scary, but we're going to keep it mostly mess-free and washable. So my station, we're talking a little bit about how we're serving locally, and we'll have next week and on the 6th and the 13th really tangible ways I'll be out in the lobby about how you can serve in the local community through the Advent season and beyond. But this is more a little contemplative, thinking about your hands and taking a look at how we are, we're the flesh of God, and that just like Jesus came in and impacted the world, that our hands are God's hands, and how we reach out to the world and even the smaller sphere around us. So you can take a look at your hands. There's a couple of readings on here, some scripture and prayer, some poems from Saint Teresa of Avila about looking at our hands, how we're flesh, and we reach out to the world. And then I think I did Barrett's hand. So I know this is a little messy, but I'll help you get through it. And if you have kids, we'll keep it as clean as possible. Make a handprint, stick it like with the Advent calendar, or if you go to work, or put it in your workstation or in your locker at school, use it as a bookmark. And think about how we're agents of love so that our hands are God's hands reaching out into the world.
Great. Thanks, Tineke. Okay, so we've got lots of great opportunities to pray. Again, want to just emphasize, we're not asking you to get around all of these or do everything at each station, but something may have particularly appealed to you, and I would encourage you to go to a few, but you know, something may have particularly stood out to you. Just go to those stations. We're going to take about 20 minutes or so here. We're going to play some background music, and so it's going to be kind of quiet, but if there's a bit of noise, that's fine too. But move out to some of those stations. Tineke mentioned something that about next week. So the next 2 weeks, in fact, we're going to have tables out in the lobby that will have a lot of practical ideas for service. Okay, so today's emphasis is on prayer, and we're going to emphasize service more as we go through the rest of Advent. Okay, so I'm just going to pray now, and when I finish praying, let's just stand up and move around and go to the stations that particularly appeal to you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the gift of Emmanuel. Thank you for the gift of God with us. And Lord, we pray now that you would help us as